Well, guys, I have to ask you, have you ever felt the pressure like that to be super like all the time? Because it's one of the problems that we face when it comes to reaching intimacy. I mean, we have this fear that, man, if we were ever really to take off the mask and other people were to see us for who we are, they wouldn't like us. Or if I were to go out and they were to see me without my super suit on, they would judge me. And again, they wouldn't like me. Well, brings me to the next teaching point, because real friendship, guys, requires honesty. Another word for that might be transparency or vulnerability. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, "And then Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt." You see, with that gesture, what Jonathan is really doing is he's putting himself at David's level. See, Jonathan's the son of the king, and David's just servant of the king. And literally what he's saying to David is, when I'm around you, I just want to be able to be myself. See, to be a friend, you have to be honest with one another. You need to be vulnerable. You need to be transparent. You need to remove the mask. You need to remove the armor. You need to lay down your sword and bare your heart and your soul. You have to be honest with your friend, and you have to be honest with yourself. Because if you want the kind of friendship that David and Jonathan have here, you have to share the real you. This summer, we actually spent some time with the teen boys talking about this very thing, because these days, guys, there's so much pressure from our culture and from the media to literally be super all the time. And for guys, what that looks like is real men are courageous, right? Real men are never afraid. Real men are never show fear. Real men never show pain. And worse than that, real men never ask for help, right, guys? Because we don't need help. Even when we're drowning, we don't need help. And I can't speak specifically to the pressures that women face, but I'm guessing that the women around here feel the same pressure to be super in their own kind of a way. Okay, and I just tell you, I always had friends in my life. But before I was a Christian, my friends really never knew me. See, I was the master at putting on the mask. And I have to be honest, my friends loved the mask, but they never really knew the man behind the mask. You know what I'm talking about? And I learned that behavior from my father, who actually was probably one of the best at it. And my dad was a man's man. He was the kind of guy that, I mean, you could cut his heart out with a spoon, and he'd never flinch. He'd never show pain. I can never remember him showing any kind of emotion. Now, the problem with that is in maintaining the mask. See, because for me, in those days, I was all about respect and all about impressing my friends. Okay, but the problem is no one really can get close to you. You know, guys can admire the armor. They can admire the mask, but they can't really get close to you until they know the real you. And guys, I'm going to suggest to you that the same thing is true with our ladies. I mean, they can really respect you for the armor that you wear, but they can't really get close to you until you take it off. So, let me tell you a quick story. Nicole and I, when we finally got serious about working on our marriage, we ended up in a place called Branson, Missouri, okay, at the Smalley Relationship Center. Now, after filling out these huge questionnaires and meeting with a couple of PhDs, they told us that we had this very interesting and yet very unhealthy codependent dynamic going on, something that they referred to as the knight and maiden in distress syndrome. Okay, now, without getting into all the details of what that looks like, basically, over time, my identity had become Nicole's rescuer. Okay? And Nicole's identity had become this beautiful princess that was in dire need of being rescued from all of these terrible dragons in her life. Okay? So, now, Of course, the problem with that dynamic is, for the knight, when the beautiful princess no longer needs rescuing, he's out of a job, right? So, what does the knight do when the princess no longer needs rescuing? Of course, he creates new dragons so that, once again, the princess will need rescuing, okay? And for the princess, if the knight doesn't respond to the dragon in her life at that particular moment, she has a tendency to create even more fierce dragons so that she can gain the attention of the knight. And, well, you guys understand how that works, okay? Well, anyway, once we were confronted with this unhealthy knight and lady thing that we had going on, Nicole looked at me and she said, do you want to tell them or should I? See, because if you've ever been to our house, it was then and still is, we have this, it's completely decorated in this like medieval theme, okay? So we got pictures of knights and ladies like everywhere. We got swords and we got shields and we got armor. We even have a full suit of armor, like 6-foot suit of armor in our foyer just inside the front door, okay? And so after explaining our home decor, Nicole asked, does this mean that we have to get rid of all this stuff? And obviously we didn't have to get rid of it, but there were a few things that needed to change. And once we got home, we started to look at the pictures of the knights and ladies. One of the things that we noticed is that, man, with all that armor on, it's really hard for the lady to get very close to the knight. Okay? In fact, if you take a look at this picture right here, you can see that with all that armor on, she can barely get close enough to kiss him. And so one of the first things that we did is we found a couple of new pictures to display in some very prominent places. Okay? This one, okay, shows our knight again, this time with his armor stripped off and laid off to the side, kneeling before the altar of God that he might be blessed. And then there's this next one. Here we have our knight once again with the armor stripped off to the side, kneeling before his lady, that she might confirm his knighthood even without the armor, okay? Anyway, and guys, these pictures helped to remind us that there are places where the mask and the armor are never appropriate, okay? One of those is before God. We need to be honest with God. And the other place for us was with each other, okay? We need to be honest with each other. And people, I'm going to suggest to you that we need to expand that a little bit and also include our friends in that, okay? Because the truth is, we shouldn't be about impressing our friends. We should be about how we can grow closer together. You hear me? We need to be honest with our friends, and they need to know that they can be honest with us, because our ultimate goal would be, how can we get closer together? Just like David and Jonathan. You know, how can we become one in spirit? How can we have our souls knit together? And the truth is that that doesn't happen without honesty. It doesn't happen without that vulnerability. Okay, it doesn't happen without taking off the armor. Now, a word of caution. I always have to put this out here. We read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, Jesus says, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Because I'm just going to tell you, it's probably not safe to be vulnerable with just anyone, okay? It's probably not safe to take the armor off in front of everyone, okay? You need to be a little bit discerning. Not everyone can handle those delicate, safe, soft parts of you, okay? Some would actually use it to trample you or to attack you with them. Okay, so I guess we need to be careful. Give them a little bit, and give them more as they demonstrate that they're safe. Okay, now the third step is what I call devotion. Devotion is defined as a committed love. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 3, it says, "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul." It says that Jonathan made a covenant with David. Now, a covenant is not like a contract. A Covenant doesn't have any escape clauses. It doesn't have any ifs. It doesn't have any ands. It doesn't have any buts. It doesn't have any conditions that have to be met in order that it would be in force. A covenant is like a one-way promise. It's something that you make independently of how you expect the other person is going to respond. This is what I'm going to do. Okay? That's a covenant. It's not a mutual agreement. It's a choice that you make to benefit somebody else. See, for me, let's tell you, marriage is supposed to be a covenant relationship. Okay? Marriage is supposed to be for better or worse, guys. Marriage isn't supposed to be, well, as long as you're meeting my needs. Okay? Marriage isn't supposed to be, well, as long as you're making me happy. Okay? Marriage is supposed to be until death do we part. Okay? And marriage is like the ultimate friendship. I think that real friendship is also a covenant relationship. Being a friend means being there for someone, even if it seems like we're giving a whole lot more than we're getting out of the deal. Okay? Because the truth is, we're probably in the greatest need for our friends, where we're in the worst position to be able to give anything back. Okay? Anyway, you really don't find out who your friends are until you're in crisis. Okay? You really don't find out the depth of a friendship until it's been tested. Okay? Well, for me, a crisis in my friendships came when I became a Christian. That's a time when my whole life was in crisis. And so, guys, I did what men do when they're in crisis. You guys know this. I went into the cave. Okay, now, every real man knows about the cave. However, I'm afraid that some of the ladies may not completely understand the concept of the cave. So I'm actually going to talk about the cave for a little bit, and then we'll come back to the story, if that's okay. Okay, now, as I told you earlier, real men, they don't ask for help. Right? Even if you're drowning, you don't ask for help. And what you do, if you're wounded, if you're hurt, if you're afraid, is you withdraw into the cave. Okay, because I believe that men are kind of like solitary animals. Okay, I liken men to like bears. Okay, now bears can be sociable, and they are, and they're very social. However, bears also really don't have that much problem spending time alone. Okay, and in fact, when bears are wounded, when bears are hurting, when bears are afraid, what do bears do? They seek the safety of their cave. Okay, yeah, exactly. Now, women, on the other hand, women are herd animals. I liken women to like antelope, okay? They, by nature, they like to group up, okay? So if the antelope are threatened or feel afraid, they naturally seek the safety of the herd, okay? So, everybody knows what I'm talking about. So, now, here's where some of the problems start. Now, when the woman sees the bear has withdrawn into the cave, she discerns, there must be something wrong with the bear. And naturally, she wants to get the bear to come out of the cave and rejoin the safety of the herd, right? Okay. So, but when the bear doesn't respond to being called from outside the cave, she naturally decides, well, perhaps I should go into the cave after him, right? Okay, so she goes into the cave and she begins to gently prod the bear so that he might come to life and once again rejoin the herd, okay? Now, when the gentle prodding doesn't work, she intensifies the effort by now beginning to start to poke and drive the bear out of the cave because she knows that there's more safety in the herd. Okay, now, first of all, guys, I have to tell you, and I always have to remind Nicole this too because she's an antelope as well. Ladies, if you go into the cave and you poke at the bear, you're going to get bit. That's how it works. So, the proper cave decorum, just so you know, is to lure the bear out with the promise of a little honey. Or, if that doesn't work, perhaps you should consider sending another bear in after him. Okay, so let me ask you, ladies, does your bear have another bear in his life? Does he have one that you can send into the cave to go and get him? Because if he doesn't, I'm going to suggest to you that you start praying right now that he finds one. Okay, but whatever you do, don't go into the cave and start poking at the bear because, that's right, you're going to get bit. Okay, so now that's a little bit about the cave. Anyway, It was during one of the worst storms of my life, where I was actually hiding in the cave, that Jesus found me. Okay, and it was in the cave that Jesus opened my eyes so that I could really begin to see who I really was. Okay, and it was actually in the cave that Jesus released me from the burden of the armor that I had carried around for so long. And anyway, so when I came out of the cave, my friends noticed right away that there was something different. I had become a Christian. And, of course, what do you think they did? Well, they scattered like quail, right? I shouldn't say that. Some hung around for a while. I think they were hoping or thinking that somehow I would come back to my senses and eventually I would return to being who I was before. Okay, but guys, when God sets you free like that, there ain't no going back. Are you kidding me? And the thing is, I've listened to other people tell me similar stories about how they lost their friends when they came to Christ. And I'm like, but did you really? Did you lose your friends, or did you just lose the people that you were in sin with? Okay? Because we have a tendency to toss around words like friend so freely that it's almost like a brand name rather than something that's really meaningful. David and Jonathan, their friendship also came into crisis, and it was put to the test, but with a little bit of a different outcome. Okay? The very things that Saul really liked about David in the beginning became the things that Saul despised about David a little bit later on. David was blessed by God. He was extremely successful in all of his military campaigns. He was tremendously popular with the people. Okay, and Saul became consumed with jealousy over David, so much so that he wanted him dead. He wanted him killed. Okay, and when you're the king, usually you get what you want. So we read, actually in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David." Okay, so Jonathan gives David the heads up. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but keep in mind that Saul was Jonathan's father, and Saul was also king. Jonathan was in line to be the next king of Israel. So literally, with this move, he puts his whole future on the line for his friend. Okay, and even more than that, by this point, Saul was close to insanity, if he wasn't there already. Okay, he'd already demonstrated before that he was capable of killing his own son. In fact, he would have had Jonathan put to death if some of his counselors hadn't talked him out of it. Okay, so literally by betraying Saul and warning David, Jonathan puts his life on the line for their friendship. Okay, David has to flee for his life. He flees into the wilderness. And even while he's in the wilderness, Jonathan continues to send him information about what Saul's plans are. He continues to go to him whenever he's able, that he might minister to him, that he might encourage him, and give him the things that he needs. So he continues to be a friend, even when being a friend isn't the easiest thing to do. See, the truth is that real friends stand by you. And that's why friends can help us to get through those trials of life, those crises that come into our life, because they're there. That's what it really means, is being there. Anyway, there's also sacrifice. To be a friend, you have to be willing to give of yourself, not insisting always on your own way. You have to be willing to find out what it is that your friends need and then do what you can to meet those needs. Okay? We read in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 4, Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you." See, serving is what friendship is all about. It's the whatever. Now, there are exceptions, guys. The whatever never, and I mean never, includes anything that will hurt them. Okay? And the whatever never, and I mean never, includes anything that will hurt their family. And the whatever, never, and I mean never, includes anything that will dishonor God. Those are places that we just don't go, even as friends, okay? But other than that, whatever they need, I'm going to do my best to see if I can't meet those needs. Now, but I'm not talking about what the world says that they need, okay? I'm not talking about the world's wisdom. I'm not talking about the world's kind of encouragement. We read in 1 Samuel In chapter 23 and in verse 16, Jonathan went to David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. People can find plenty of people to tell them what the world says they need. I shouldn't be another one that's just giving him a little bit more Dr. Phil. I shouldn't be another one that's giving him more of the world's wisdom. Because I should be the one that they can count on to give them the best advice ever written, the advice that's guaranteed not to fail. I should be the one that helps to encourage them to remain strong in the faith. So let me just ask you, are you reaching out to your friends in a way that's pleasing to God? Are we encouraging them to remain strong in their faith regardless of their circumstances? Hey, this brings me to something that Jesus said. We read in John chapter 15 and in verse 12, it says, "This is what I tell you to do. Love each other as I have loved you." And in the next verse, Jesus tells us what that looks like. He says, "No one can have greater love than to give his life for his friends." See, in these words, that sums up what it really means to be a friend. And they also remind us that our greatest friend is in Jesus. Our friendship with Jesus is the thing that really sees us through the tough times. Okay, Jesus is like the ultimate friend. He's always honest. He's always there. And he's already willingly made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And what does he call us to do in return? Be a friend. Like I am. Through our friendship with Jesus, I think we can come to an understanding what that really means, what it means to be a friend. Because I have to tell you, my closest and dearest friends are all the guys that I share my Christian walk with. Okay, and when we get together, you know, it's cool because we can share our struggles. We can share our shortcomings, our failures, our weaknesses. And at the same time, we can lift one another up. We can encourage one another. We can energize one another. We can breathe new life into each other by reminding each other of the blessings that we've already received from God and encouraging one another to remain strong in the faith regardless of the circumstances. See, it's friendships like that that help me to keep a proper perspective on who I am and what I'm really about. It's the friendships that I have with those guys. They're one of the most important things in my life. It's the kind of friendship that I pray for each of you. In fact, let's do that right now. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the examples of friendship that you give to us in David and Jonathan, that you've preserved those for all these years. We ask, Lord, that you would help bring the right kind of friends into our lives. Prune away, Lord, those that would bring us to ruin. Help us to be the kind of friend who is a blessing to others. Lord, may we always have friends that allow us to be real and to share of ourselves, the real us, that we might take off the mask, we might take off the armor. May we always have friends that are devoted and committed. And Lord, may we be the kind of friend that we seek in others. And Lord, finally, we thank you for Jesus, our ultimate friend, who laid down his life for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.